back. WNSG, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into springtime. I know my Kemosabe is very happy. It's baseball season. It is draft season. All of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. We're going to be bringing the tour back out on the road on Friday the 15th. A lot of folks got to pay their taxes that day. It is Good Friday. We're going to make it a great Friday because we're having a crab cake at Greenmount Station up in Hampstead, one of our go-tos. And people ask me, where's a great crab cake? I say, go to Greenmount Station up in Hampstead. They got a great crab cake. I'll be there next Friday. Talking about Carroll County, talking about the casino sports wagering issues and all that. Then on the 22nd, we're at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh with Andy. And then on the 27th, which is a Wednesday, we'll be at Conrad's in Perry Hall. Don Mahler joins us here now. Don, how are you? You've got baseball on the brain. There's no doubt about that, right?
You know, I'm on record. I do not like March and April weather here in Baltimore, but there are things about April that I do like. Obviously, baseball. I like that baseball's back. And we will talk a little baseball today. I saw an interesting poll that caught my attention to show that partisan politics has even infected folks' view of baseball. But you've got baseball, you have the Masters, and you have the NFL draft. You know, I'm sure we're part of the Liars Luncheon. We'll talk about that and what all that means. And where
I'm enjoying the Liars Luncheon more with Eric. Eric's a better liar than Ozzy. So, I told him that, too. I told Joe Ortiz, you guys are getting smooth at this year after.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to talk about. But before we do, you and the lovely Jennifer are heading to one of my very favorite destinations in the entire world. You are off to see the Piano Man.
Well, listen, here, this is the important thing to know about my life and music, right? So sports stopped and music stopped. Sports is back, and it's not that I'm nonplussed. I watch March Madness. Duke, North Carolina, like all of that. I'm fine with all that. There's just something about experiencing music in person. I know I talked to you when we had Damian O'Doherty and Ian Kennedy, but I want to talk about this because this is a American thing. And gathering and going to events, whatever they are, opening day, going to a theater, vax cards, parking, pricing, weather, standing in line, doing all that. I don't mind any of that. You know, like the getting to New York, the pomp and circumstance about outside, inside, the whole deal. But then once I get inside and Billy Joel is quieted the place down and he's singing, "She's got a way about her." Shut up. Everybody should shut up when Billy Joel sings. Everybody should shut up when John Mayer's singing. So this is my new thing for concerts because I've been to I'm 4 for 4. So here's what I did. This is what I want to tell you. Because first thing you asked me, I said, "I'm going to see Billy Joel." You're like, second mortgage? I'm like, no, I just bought tickets last minute and I get them at the end. New York has this great thing up on the roof. It's just my little tip for you, for Billy Joel. Okay. This is for me and you and Linda, because you like good seats and you don't mind paying $300 when you go every 10 years. I go to concerts too often to pay $300 to see concerts, right? So I'm always sort of on the edges of how much is that worth? How much is that seat worth? How much is a good seat worth versus a bad seat? Do I need to sit that close to Billy Joel to scare him? I've been in the front row for Billy Joel. I've been in the back row for Billy Joel. It's like Pearl Jam. I got some good seats. I got some lousy seats. I just kind of want to be there and experience it. There's a thing called the Glass Bridge in Madison Square Garden. They built it around the rim. And I've sat in the front row of the Glass Bridge for Billy Joel twice. 8 years ago, back when Jen first got cancer, when the Super Bowl was in New York, I actually went to a Billy Joel show that week, which is 8 years ago now. That's how long Billy Joel's been playing every month in New York without the plague. I've waded through the plague, did all this stuff, and the tickets were $48 on the Glass Bridge in the front row. Now, the Glass Bridge is unique, and I said to my wife this. So, we could probably sit here or there, or there, but the Glass Bridge is like a skybox. You sit out, there's nobody around, nobody's talking in the middle of Miami 2017, nobody's talking in the middle of any of the soft ballad songs. So for me, I, I, I'm Gucci now. I'm like Bisciotti. I need my own private box so I don't have people in the middle of a nice Bruce Springsteen song. So there's my old guy. Get off my lawn. It's not even about baseball.
No, I love the glass bridge tip. Like you, I don't like, I do differentiate, I guess, behavior, the way people behave at concerts versus movies or theaters. I guess I've just gotten used to the fact over the years that people will get up and do the crazy beach ball thing. And
I don't mind that. No. What I'm talking about is Bruce Springsteen has brought the house down and all you can hear is the hi-hat and he's singing, Drive All Night, like some song that really requires you to not be talking about who's got the babysitter tomorrow or whatever you're talking about, And then there's the part where like you're a teacher. And I've never heard – I want to hear Linda tell me this because Linda is the quintessential teacher in my mind. She never taught me. But I want to hear her say, use your quiet voice.
You did not – it's safe to say you did not act out in Madame Moeller's class. I mean
– how do you say silence in French?
I'd have to ask her probably something. But you did not fool around. In Madame's class.
But that's my rub. My rub is I go all day, all night, spend $150 for a John Mayer ticket, and I get cackling girls next to me telling me their life story in the middle of singing Daughters. I mean, it's just, sing along on key, whisper along on key, sing. I don't mind people singing off key. What I mind is when people are having a conversation out loud about what they had for lunch in the middle of Piano Man.
I've told you I used to embarrass the hell out of the kids when they were little.
Good.
Because in the movie theater I would just get up out of the seat and do the teacher principal things.
Moeller
and I would do it nicely.
You learn. I mean, it really isn't
not to be confrontational. I would just go up and say, hey, guys, if you don't mind, if you would like to talk, I would really appreciate it if you would go to the lobby. Now, they would look at you like you were a jerk, but typically they would either shut up or go to the lobby. You know, they didn't go up and say, look, shut your mouth. You know, I learned over the years, because I had mentors as educators much smarter than I, learned how to address it and say, hey, guys, you know, we're trying to hear the movie. Do me a favor. If you want to talk, I get it, but please do it out in the lobby.
Well, let's take it to baseball, because it's baseball season. You're going to opening day. Mondays, I'll be buzzing around. If somebody has a free ticket, I'll go. Or if it's $10. So here's where, baseball was the original place for this, right? Where someone would stand up in the middle of a 3-2 pitch or come back with a 7-up after going to the bathroom with two guys on and a hit and run on, and they're going to, get it. We don't have that problem anymore because there aren't enough people at the ballpark to be in your way. I don't know if there are enough people that pay attention like that to be in the way. I've been told to sit down at football games. You sit behind me. down on third down at a football game. But baseball was the original place where, and I saw this on the baseball tour. You have to go to 30 ballparks in 30 days to see this sort of thing. I took a picture of it. I was in Seattle at Safeco Field. 25 days into the tour, and I was with Phil Gordon, the old poker player, my buddy, and I went up to go to the bathroom, and I'd only seen this at hockey games, because in hockey they won't let you go to your seat with the puck's in. But you don't go to hockey games. You don't know. You know this?
I do not. I used to.
It's like tennis. You can't move around in tennis. You don't.
As a little kid, I used to go to the Clippers all the time. I would take the number 8 from Catonsville down to the Civic Center, watch Marcel Pye and the original Clippers. And I loved that. Bob Plager, who was the Mauler. So I had a lot of memories. But listen, this is Baltimore Positive, and this is something near and dear to your heart. Did we have some good news, at least appears to be really good news this week, regarding Harbor Place? And you and I have been waiting and waiting. And how many, would you live down there, Nestor? 18 years?
19 years. 19 years. We lived there 19 years in a month. Actually,
so literally, for folks who do not recall or don't follow you on social media, you literally you stood at your window and you looked at
Harvard. This is it right here. If you just look, it's actually on this side.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, but this is where I live. This is a picture out my window. Yes.
And you and Jen would walk over there many, many times a week, and you saw the decay. Yeah, I saw some of the numbers. At the end of February, it was only 48% leased. Most tenants have left. They were losing. They had lost $200,000 in the first 2 months of this year. So it was a real embarrassment for Baltimore. And this week, a local developer, David Bramble, steps up, evidently has reached an agreement with the receivership group, now just needs to be approved by the judge, and hopefully we're off and running.
Is there a real plan? I'm going to reach to Bramble. I know Bramble a little bit. I mean, I think he'll come on the show. Hope he does.
Unlike the Mosbys
or Steve Bisciotti, but yeah, you know, I think we can get him. But when he comes on, the notion that there's 100 ideas, right? Like Ron Cassie's had ideas. We've talked to Jane Miller. We've talked to Dan Rogers. We've talked to urban developers, right? About what this.
No doubt about it.
Is there one? Does he have a plan, or is this let's get it and then let's bring plans in?
What it sounds like in terms of what we've read, and I can't wait to have David on the show. Sounds like he's going to do, which is what we have encouraged folks to do, have significant community input. He's talking about making it a place for citizens as well as tourists. And he's talking about bringing back that Baltimore flair. And we'll talk with – we're having Michael Olesker on next week, and Michael's going to talk about his new book. I've already started it. It's you can't put it down. But Michael Olesker, obviously grew up with Boogie Wineglass, has written a book on Boogie, and he will be on. And Michael and I, the other day, were talking about Harbor Place, and he's got one of his comments was that it really does need to have a local feel. That when it opened, when Jim Rouse opened it in 1980. It really did have a Baltimore feel. It was, you know, it was.
I can name the vendors, right? I mean, I went down there. They had the Swenson's ice cream wound up where Hooters was. And there was Anna's Fried Dough. Steve Jeppy had Jeppy's Comic World down there. And had some baseball cards that lured me down there.
The Kite Loft.
Kite Loft. Sure. I mean, all of those. Phillips is a Maryland brand, right? That was the anchor and the ragtime piano bar. And, you know, all the food was in the Light Street Pavilion, and all the shopping and the hat place and like all that was in the other. Listen, it's been 42 years. I was there the day it opened, too. Here's the weird part between you and me, because we're both old guys now, but you're just older. I don't remember it the other way. So I've seen the videos recently when we had we were talking with Fraser before he passed about Maryland and about the history of Governor Schaefer and Governor Schaefer's life. I remember seeing Governor Schaefer, and he had a little bit of hair, you know, back in like 71, 72, 73. There's a video of what that promenade looked like, and it was just grass at that point. Now, I've seen pictures, black and white, and whatever, of sort of fishy warehouse, sort of wharfy looking things. I'm assuming that you drove down that road in the 60s, maybe the 70s. It was more empty, I think, more vacated. But you were there when it was something else. I have very little. It's always been the same thing to me, and I've looked out the window for 20 years and seen it. I don't want to say I have a hard time envisioning this, but there is a little bit of a leap for me to say, so it's not going to look like a mall. What's it going to, you know, that's my hard part, because you've seen it look like something else.
Well, I think that is, and that's why I'm so excited about having David on. I mean, David said he obviously – I like that he talked about the many, many possibilities. You know, we have our friends at May and Reichel who've done a great job at Rash Field. I saw that one of our favorite guests along the way, and she is going to come back on very soon as she winds down her legislative career. But Maggie McIntosh, I see, has worked to get $60 million in this General Assembly that will go to redevelopment in the Harbor area. So some of that could be used for that. Maggie, in her interview reacting to the sale, talks about her excitement that, you know, David is a local guy. He lives in the city. He went to City College along with, you know, it seems like,
well, it comes back to local, else. Right? It comes back to people who live here, who are invested here, are going to care, and not like the ABC Acme Corporation of Connecticut that's in receivership, that owns like literally a landmark in our city that they've allowed to become vacated. I mean, they're that's been the issue here for 10 years, right? The issue here for 10 years has been when people aren't vested here, they don't care. When they don't live here, they can't care enough.
And they let it, I mean, by all accounts, you listen to the tenants, and God bless the tenants who have hung in there, but just the disrepair and the, as you say, the total lack of attention from the out-of-town folks, Ashkenazi and others. I mean, it's just been a mess. So this is really... I mean, we always look for the good stories in Baltimore. We love this city, and I realize this is baby steps, but this is a big, maybe this is a toddler step. You know, maybe this is beyond the baby crawl.
Well, 45 years ago, it was heralded as something that would anchor the city. I think it can still be, it has potential to be that, but it has to be reimagined in a way that it is an anchor to the city, because the anchor to the city is this picture behind me. We have something no one else that I, anywhere else in the world I've been, other than maybe Hong Kong, like literally I've been all over the world. Paris to some degree has the river that floats through it, but Boston, okay, fine. But we have this unique tidal basin and this water and this charm and this city with this history and this hill and this European sort of vibe to it.
Tie into McKeldin Square that you walked through all of the time. There's just
Urban America needs to be reimagined, because what's not coming back down there is Mercantile Bank, Provident Bank, First National Bank, First Mariner Bank. You know, these aren't the businesses that are going to be there. And as much as we've talked to Weller about Port Covington moving this way, or whatever Canton has been in the past and will be in the future, and Fells Point, the center of the city and the heart of the city and the place that industry and commerce will grow. And I don't even know what that industry and commerce were, right? I mean, Governor Schaefer saw it 50 years ago as a mall, and it worked for a while. It worked for a generation and a half, let's say, right? Not bad. Not bad at all. I mean, we talk about Camden Yards opening this week and what they're going to have to do to the sport, to the stadium, which they've already torn up left field, and the casino. All of these things change, and places that used to be a centerpiece are no longer a centerpiece if you don't keep a spotlight on it. And this is a chance for them to reimagine this.
Could not agree more. And I don't want to belabor this next piece, because I know you, I didn't even have it on the list of things to talk about, but you just mentioned left field. And Nestor, while I don't dislike what they've done, I've got to tell you, what the final rendering, which I think is looks neat and will give us some neat caroms and that thing, I really worry about that 90-degree angle at the bullpen and Austin Hayes going full tilt and hitting that corner. That there it looks dangerous to me. And I'm a positive guy, but I love baseball. And I would be there for opening day, except for the fact
there were no studies on that left field wall. Nobody talked about it. The citizens are paying for it. It's everything the Orioles represent, which is, hey, let's throw a dart. We'll move the ball out, and everything will be better. Our pitching will stink.
I don't think. I think,
dude, how many times this year?
That's a discredit.
And you're going to watch them more than I'm going to. Now, you want to have a baseball? We'll have a baseball.
No, but that discredits what they did with this. They had a rationale for this. They knew what they were doing with this.
Really?
We may disagree.
Really?
See, that's the thing. You've got to
be careful. Can they explain it? Seriously, pardon if me? They know what they were doing, can they explain it? Can John Angelos explain what he did to the stadium? Seriously, can he explain
sure.
it? Not some pretty girl in a suit that's their spokesperson.
Sure.
I'm talking about the decision maker that spent sure. millions of dollars to rip the stadium up
sure.
and saying, why? Why?
Well, I think,
pitching stinks, and we think we'll play better baseball. That's it. That's the reason.
The decision maker. The decision maker in this was Mike Elias.
No, he wasn't.
Sure, he
wasn't his money. You're being naive if you think he made the decision. John Angelos, it's his stadium when Mike Elias is gone.
John,
I mean, come on there. You can talk about DaCosta and Dick Cass and Sashi. Steve makes the decisions. He does. Nestor, and he'll tell you that. He'll tell you
Nestor,
that.
Nestor, people take the decisions to them. Mike Elias went to John Angelos and said, I think our stadium will be better if we move the wall back. I think we'll be more attractive to free agent pitchers. And as we're trying to build something that's not good just for 1 or 2 years, I think this will be an asset. Now,
I'll listen to that and I'll say bravo. If that's the answer that John Angelos, you gave a great, you're one of the great public spokespeople, which I give you issue about all the time. But that if you're standing out on the wall with an Oriole Bird suit on and they hire you for the next 10 years and you decide to take Greg Bader's job, that's a really good answer to say, oh, it's about getting pitchers.
I think they've said that.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think
it makes it play better. I don't think that makes them win more. And I don't. And if 5 years from now, the next version of Max Scherzer is here and they have a 32-year-old pitcher making $38 million in pitching every 5 days, which is so not even baseball anymore, right? Like they don't play the game that way anymore. That if – look, the numbers will play out. Over the next 5 years, they'll either win or lose more because of it. My guess is – they won't win or lose more because of it. They'll win or lose more because they'll have better baseball players.
Oh, sure.
And I think, and this will be something in the near short term, as much as their pitching stinks and they're a horrible team and they're going to lose 100 games and they traded away 2 major league pitchers last week for another bag of baseballs.
I love that trade, by the way.
Fair enough. Well, then you're paying to watch them play this year. I'm not. So
I love
I'm speaking
that
to you.
I'd
There's
going to
be a lot of flyouts on that left field wall off the bats of orange and black guys, too. And it's going to cost them a lot of home runs,
Felix,
too.
I would much rather have Felix Bautista on the roster than Cole Sulcer. I love that trade. And I think it is very consistent with what they're going to do. I mean, listen, I talked to a lot of folks. They're going to be paying close attention to Norfolk and to Bowie. I mean, that's all going to be fun. My only point was I didn't want to talk a lot of baseball today. A couple other things before we get out of here. I want to get your take on. I want to talk about the crazy Sarah Palin run for Congress, which she's likely to win. Which is just
you always want to talk about these idiot Republicans doing idiots. I don't even like talking about it. Like it's giving breath to Tucker Carlson is he should be in jail. You know what I mean? Like that giving breath to any of that, any of this pro Putin stuff is gross. By the way, Jamie Raskin is the best at shutting it down ever. Jamie Raskin's my hero. I'm going to have a non-crab cake with him.
And again. Congressman Raskin, one of our very, very favorite people. The way
he might
he
be
shut
a president
down,
one day. He might be the president of the United States one day.
The way he shut down Marjorie Taylor goofball the other day was just – you're right. He's the best at that.
One thing this thing has done, Don, on a global level is we don't have closet racists in this country anymore. They're all there. You know what I mean? I don't have to guess what you're thinking or who you are or what's here. Your actions, your words, your deeds, where you spend your money, where you spend your company, where you spend your ideology, that this has been a very clear-cut thing over the last 5 years. As there are very few people in my life where I have to guess who they voted for last time or whether they're into Andy Harris or not. You know what I mean?
Well, let's talk about Andy. Nestor, yesterday, and by the time this airs, people can go back. It will be a week or so. Go back and look at Andy Harris's comments regarding – there were, I think, 63, if I'm close to the number, I think it's 63, Republicans who voted against a resolution expressing the United States' support for NATO, our longest standing alliance that has kept the world safe since World War II. Andy Harris, the reason
these people are in Congress
voted,
is because there is a NATO, like literally,
voted
right?
against it. Because he thought it might be an affront to Hungary, where he likes the authoritarianism. I mean, this is what we have. But this is my last point on Sarah Palin. She is Larry Sabato, who's a great follow from the University of Virginia. Larry Sabato recently, he analyzes everything better than almost anyone. There have been 19 failed vice presidential candidates or presidential candidates who've later tried to seek other office, and they're 0 for 19.
Wow.
So she's running.
Like Geraldine Ferraro, right. Like all
Walter
of
Mondale.
Those.
You go right Walter on down Mon- the
okay.
list.
Al Gore. Well, Gore
for
won.
An office that they didn't have. They're 0 for 19. And it's very, very fascinating. So she's swimming upstream on that. But what she here's the thing that people don't understand, and they have a special election this summer to replace.
She quit the last job they elected her to.
She quit in 2009. There are a couple of things. She quit in 2009. She said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be governor anymore. I've never heard anyone doing that, but I don't want to be governor anymore. So she now decides she wants to replace Representative Don Young, who passed away. They have what they call in Alaska a jungle primary. There are 50. Imagine this. They only have one representative because of the size of the state. It's called an at-large congressperson. They have 50 people running for this one seat. They have a jungle primary, which means the top four candidates will then advance to a runoff election.
Never heard of that before. This is why we learn stuff on the recon with you, Don.
There you go.
It's a jungle primary.
It's hard for me to imagine that with her name recognition and the number of wackos out there that she won't be in the top four. Here's the problem. And you said, and I agree with you, Nestor. I don't watch nearly the cable news that I did once upon a time because it's disgusting. It's what the rhetoric coming from the other side. Listen, there was a recent study. I don't know if you saw it. It was paid for. I forget what institute paid for it, but they paid a number of Fox News viewers, people who got all their news from Fox News. They paid them for 1 month to not watch Fox and to only watch CNN. And they went back and they took the temperature on their political beliefs and what they found to be true and not true, and their views had shifted dramatically. It shows you the power and the danger of the disinformation campaign. Listen,
well, it's no further power than watching these Russian people not know what their government has this marauding and this murdering and these war crimes that have gone on. And then the fact that people on the right side of the aisle in this country are calling the Bucha massacres a fake. I mean, like, again, these are the same people saying these kids weren't murdered up in at Sandy Hook. I mean, these are freaks. These are people who should have never had a voice, that we did not figure out when the internet happened and social media happened and disinformation happened and the opening of the world for bad actors in Russia and in China to have troll farms to pollute minds. I saw it during the election cycle in 15 and 16 like I have never seen it. I mean, things that were clearly not written by English language first American people on all of these conservative and religious places that were and guns attacked by disinformation that was then brought on by Rupert Murdoch that was there from the beginning. And, you know, it's really what led to Trump being elected with 3 million less votes, by the way, the first time around.
And the really dangerous part of it right now is that the Russian people are increasingly supporting the war because of what Putin is feeding them.
Well, every channel there's Fox News. They only have that only channel they have, right?
That's the only channel they have. Down to the point where they have convinced the Russian people that the bodies that they are seeing are fake and that it's
or they're just Nazis and they need to die anyway. That's really what's at the heart of this. The more I read about this is an extermination attempt of the Ukrainian people. And it's got some religion in it, you know, but last I checked, I checked Zelensky's religion and, you know, we're not calling it that, but it's kind of at the heart of it.
But that's not what they're show. They're not even peddling that on Russian TV because that would be open to discussion. What they're peddling is this is all a farce and disinformation on the part of Ukraine and the United States in an effort to get ready for the Ukraine and NATO and the United States to take over.
Well, it's not the United States. Russia. It's the West, right? It's
the West. It's NATO, everyone, literally. And the United States, the West to take over. And that's really, really frightening. Hey, listen, before we wrap up, just a quick, since it is baseball week, I just chuckled. The only thing I could do was to chuckle when I thought, you have to be kidding me, that partisan politics is now part of the way people see the national pastime. There is a clear distinction on every issue regarding baseball between Democrats and Republicans.
That doesn't shock me, though. Why is it shocking?
Really?
You sit at the ballpark.
It did me.
It's the oldest, whitest place in the world.
If I'm a Democrat or Republican, why do I feel one way about the DH? And again, Democrats are pro-DH. Republicans are against the DH. Democrats thought that the players had some legitimate issues during the lockout. Republicans didn't. Democrats favored the players making more money. Republicans didn't. I mean, of course, now this part makes some sense. Democrats favored restrictions, health restrictions going to the game, and Republicans didn't. And 80% of the Democrats favored player vaccine mandates, and 33% of the Republicans did not. So what I mean,
but Don, even if you did the same thing in the NFL, every Republican would say screw Colin Kaepernick. Every Democrat would say he was blackballed. That's just where it would be, right? Sports.
But you know what? We never timestamp the recon, but I'm timestamping this one, and we have our buddy John Feinstein on next week. Who, if you haven't read his article on Coach K, read it, and if you read the last sentence and don't tear up, then you're a cold, cold person. Can't wait to have John on. But today,
well, the best part of the Final Four was watching Duke fans lose once, and then the Carolina fans lose. That was perfect for me. It worked out great. I saw everybody was unhappy in the end. It's good.
We will talk about that with John. But I was teasing him yesterday. Today we're going to timestamp it. The Masters begins, and you know, Nestor, it's a high holy holiday. Hey, I've gotten great feedback, by the way. I hope folks will jump out and listen. Golfers have reached out to me and said, man, I loved the interview that you guys did with Bob Herring from ESPN. They can't wait to buy the book. So this Tiger story has the potential. I said to my brother, I said, if he's playing on the weekend, then it's either an ESPN 30-30 or a movie. If Tiger Woods, 1 year after almost...
If he's in the top 10 Sunday morning, just in the top 10, right?
If he's in the top 10...
If he's 8 shots off and he still has a chance.
If he's teeing it up on Saturday. Now, my brother is convinced, and my brother's a great golfer, my brother is convinced that Tiger's playing this weekend. If he is...
Because I don't think he would show up unless he could do that, right? He knows what he's capable of. I don't think he would go out there and embarrass himself at all.
As Linda knows, the honey-do list will have to wait until Monday, because between now and Sunday night, it's all Augusta. That's the recon, Nestor. Have fun at Billy Joel. We want a full report next week.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get the set list out. I'm like this way with Billy Joel. I've probably seen him 50 times. I've heard him play almost every song like that I love. I just want my greatest hits. You know what I mean? Like if he were to play This Is the Time, which he's done recently, that would be a game changer for me. If I don't hear Miami 2017, that always disappoints me. If I don't hear the lights go out in Broadway, you know what I mean?
I don't know that you do know this about me. We'll close with this. You know, I love music too, probably not at the level. I don't know it certainly at the level you do, but I love music. I love concerts. I'm going to see Paul. I'm going to see Buffett. I've recently seen Paul Simon, recently seen James Taylor, Jack. I love music. I love concerts. Billy Joel has my all-time favorite song. If ever you play that game this year, top 10 favorite songs, my number one never changes.
Vienna.
Nope.
Well, that's mine, but go ahead.
Nope. One more guess.
I got no guesses. I have no idea what
New York State of Mind.
New York State of Mind, really?
Oh.
My Some folks like to get time. Away, take a holiday from the neighborhood.
My all-time. All right. The piano riffs in New York State of Mind are it's when I get really angry at my mother for letting me quit piano. I go, daggone it, Mom. Why weren't you meaner?
Dude, you were playing too much baseball is what you were
that
doing.
Was
like,
it.
Hey,
I kept
you
saying
know,
to her.
I should have learned to play the guitar.
I'm
I
sitting
really
at this piano, I could be out playing shortstop, Mom.
You know,
I was so tired. I wore her down. And I never let her forget it. She should have been tougher.
Paul LaMantia, son of Sam LaMantia from Ed Block. It's an Ed Block week, by the way. So a little shout out to Paul Mittermeier and Brett Dickinson, who comes on every week with Dennis. But the guitar, every time I see Paul, and he doesn't cut my hair often, as you can tell, right? But when he cuts my hair, he gave me some lessons years ago. And I have a guitar. I can pluck. I said, I got to learn to play the guitar, man. It's costing me. And now that I'm 53, I feel like, it's really cost me that I haven't learned to play the guitar. You know what I mean? Like really cost me. So if I were, I would tell John Martin from the lottery this, if I ever hit the lottery and just had money and didn't have to do this for a living, I probably would pray a little bit and it would take me a month, but I probably would sit in a room and just for 6 months do nothing but write and play the guitar. If I had unlimited money, if I just had downtime, learning to play the guitar would be more than learning Spanish or French, God bless your wife, Linda, or anything else that I might be really useful in my life, computer science skills or something for late. I would learn to play the guitar because I think that would have more value
for me. One of my joys is just sitting in my little room with my little guitar, pretending almost and just strumming away. So it's absolute. That's, hey, we've got coming up, great guest coming up this week. We've got Tony Fugit, who we had on recently, former president of Baltimore County, NAACP. My political gut says we may be making some news with Tony when he jumps on. And Cheryl Boast, president of MSEA, they just came off a weekend where they made their major, major endorsements in the big races in the state. And no endorsement matters more than that of the 76,000 member MSEA. So Cheryl will be. So we've got good guests coming up. That's the recon.
I was talking to your daughter about teaching last week, so it'll be good to talk to teachers about teaching. I am Nestor.
Absolutely.
He's Nahum Holmes. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Wise Markets. We're letting ourselves play, get back out with the Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at Goodwill Industries. And I found my coal roofing mug. So I just want to give – Bill didn't come on the show this week. I was so excited when I found the mug after 2 months and I took a picture. I don't like my binky with my Royal Farms coffee in it. So big appreciation our friends at coal roofing as well.
Before you sign off, people have been living the journey. Are you all unpacked and everything now? Are you comfortable in the county at this point?
Getting there. Still need a shower head. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Window replacement. Where the hell are you, Thompson Creek?